Would, let's begin our service at the reading of a portion of John chapter 5. John, the fifth chapter. As you're turning, it's in the bulletin, but I want to say it out loud, too, how much I would like to thank our teachers and all of our volunteers for this week of Bible school. It's just exceptional. I wish that everybody could see in action our teachers. If you pass one of them this afternoon on your way out, be sure to thank them. I mean, what we saw this week is just the tip of the iceberg. The amount of preparation and study that went into that, the amount of energy they expend in making this a good week, I'm very, very thankful. And I'm thankful for our young people. They're so attentive, and I'm very thankful. It's a good week. Now, we have a matter of prayer I want to tell you about. Sue Thacker's grandson, Johnson Smith, was in a very bad car wreck Friday evening while we were at the picnic. And they had flown him to he's in ICU at UK Medical Center. What prognosis we have is somewhat promising, but it's hard to tell for a few days. He's in a medically induced coma. The only injuries he has to his body are his head. But they think these things will correct themselves, but obviously Sue is very worried and has requested our prayers. So as the Lord brings him to your mind, pray for him. All right, John chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, he healed a man on the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And we end our reading there. All right, let's stand together as Mike leads us in singing our call to worship.
Holy Ghost, dispel our sadness, pierce the clouds of nature's night. Come, great source of joy and gladness, breathe your life and spread your light. From the light which knows no measure, as a gracious shower descend, bringing down the richest treasure man can wish or God can send. Anchor of the new creation, come with blessing and with power. Make our heart your habitation, on our souls your grace a shower. Hear, O hear our supplication, blessed Spirit. his congregation with the fullness of your grace.
Thank you, be seated. Turn now to 283, our great hymns of faith, 283. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, calm the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to his name, glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He'll pardon erring Peter, never needs thou fear. He who came to faithless Thomas, all thy doubt will cheer. He who led the loved disciple on his bosom rest, bids thee still with love as tender lean upon his breast. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who mid the raging billows walked upon the sea still can hush our wildest tempest as on Galilee. He who wept and prayed in anguish in Gethsemane drinks with us each cup of trembling in our agony. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. As of old he walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's way he walketh, never near our side. Soon again shall we behold him, a son, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Turn over now a few pages to 291. 291. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, the pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. Be Thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to Thee. I will ever give to Thee.
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen this day, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed, and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even off Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how thankful we are that sinful men and women such as we are can come before your throne of mercy, not a throne of justice, but a throne of grace, and call you our Father. What a miracle of your love and mercy and grace to sinners, that you would send your Son to redeem them, that you send your Spirit to give them life, cause them to be born again as your children, and enable us, creatures of the dust, to call you our Father. Oh, how thankful we are. Father, we pray that this morning that you might give us an hour of worship. Father, speak to us through your word, by your Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Speak to every heart here this morning, that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and lay hold upon him. Enable us to leave here rejoicing in the life, the freedom, the deliverance that your people have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we beg of you that you not leave us alone. Don't leave us to our own wisdom, to our own understanding. Don't leave us to our own speech and thoughts. But Father, speak to us through your word. Enable me this hour to rightly divide the word of truth and to be enabled by thy spirit to preach Christ and get out of the way so that your people are totally consumed with seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and worshiping him. Let the name of Christ our Savior be extolled and magnified in our worship service this morning. And what we ask for ourselves, Father, we ask for our brothers and sisters, all of your people who are meeting together today to worship. Bless your word where it's preached. Cause it to go forth in the power of your spirit to bring glory to your name, to help your people, to comfort them and encourage them. Father, we're thankful for this place that you've given us where we can meet together and worship. We pray that you'd preserve it and protect it as a place where Christ is preached, where Christ is preeminent. His gospel, everything about him would be preeminent in this place, a place where sinners can come and feed on him, find their hope and their rest and their peace and their comfort in Christ and Christ alone. Father, I thank you for this week of Bible school that you've given to us. I thank you that you've blessed the teachers in their study and preparation and teaching. Father, I pray that you take the word that was taught and implant it in the hearts of our children, that you might make it grow in your time to faith and life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant them repentance and faith, we pray. This we know, they're just like their parents. Father, we must have thee. You've got to do a work for us and in us. We're totally dependent upon your mercy. Lord, have mercy, we pray. And for those, Father, who are sick and hurting, we pray for them. We pray for Sue's grandson, Johnson, that you'd work in a mighty way, that you'd give him, restore him back to health. And Father, use this, if it could be your will, to bring him and his family to their knees, that they might seek thee, that you might use this as a way to work mercy and grace in their hearts. Now, Father, again, in this hour, bless us. Bless us with your presence. Enable us to leave here this morning rejoicing in Christ our Savior. It's in his blessed name we pray and give thanks.
Find your old school hymnal there and turn to 441, would you please? It's a good song. I want you to learn the chorus. It's a new chorus for us. When Moses and the Israelites from Egypt land did flee, behind them were proud Pharaoh's host, in front of them the sea. God raised the waters like a wall and opened up the way, and the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. He's just the same today. He's just the same today. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. When David and Goliath met, the wrong against the right, the giant armed with human strength, and David God's might. sent a stone by David's sling, the giant low did lay. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. Sing it with me. He's just the same today. He's just the same today. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. When Daniel, faithful to his God, would not bow down to men, and by his enemies was hurled into the lion's den, God shut the lion's mouth, we read, and robbed them of their prey. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. He's just the same today. He's just the same today. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. When Pentecost had fully come, and fire from heaven did fall, the Savior with the Holy Ghost baptized them one and all. 3,000 were converted and were added right away. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. He's just the same today. He's just the same today. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today.
Good song. I'm glad you found that. God that lived in olden times is just the same today. We're going to preach the same gospel, the same Savior that Moses preached all those years ago. If you would, first, look in your Bibles, hold your place in Exodus 14. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I titled the message this morning, Faith's Crossing. I want us to see how that we cross, how that we pass from death unto life. God's people pass from death unto life, spiritual death to spiritual life, by God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Now, let's look back at Exodus chapter 14. Let's look at this story in some detail and see if we can't learn what it means to pass from death unto life by faith. First, I'm very interested in passing from death unto life, aren't you? I want spiritual life. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's life eternal. Well, how is it then that sinful men and women like you and me can pass from death unto life? Well, number one, we won't pass from death unto life until God makes us helpless. Verse 1 of Exodus chapter 14. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Now, I almost never use the maps at the back of my Bible, but I used them this week. There is a route that would go straight from Goshen, right up to Jerusalem. From Goshen is where the children of Israel lived in Egypt. There's a straight shot right there. Pretty good route to take. And they were on that route. And as they were on that route, the Lord told Moses, Now turn. You take a sharp right-hand turn, and you go down this way to camp between these two cities, Pihahiroth and Baal-Zephon. And I looked that up on the maps. And that place where he told them to camp is at the bottom of what looks like a peninsula. The Red Sea comes up in two fingers, and they are camping right down here. And over here, there's a big, rugged mountain range, and there's just a narrow path between that mountain range and the Red Sea to go back up into the open land. And the Lord told them, go down there. And Pharaoh and his armies come down. All they got to do to trap Israel down there by that Red Sea is just close off that little teeny tiny narrow pass. Easy to block them off. They'd be trapped down there between the mountains and Pharaoh's army and the sea. But the Lord told them to go to that place, that particular place, on purpose. So that when they got there, they would see themselves as helpless. It wasn't hard to figure out we're in a place. We cannot escape from this place. They were totally dependent upon the Lord to deliver them. And here's what that's a picture of. You and I will never be saved until God makes us helpless. Until we see that we can't do anything spiritually. We are dead in trespasses and sins. God's got to show us that. I mean, dead means dead. Helpless. Can't do one thing. A dead man can't get up and walk to safety. A dead man can't swim across the Red Sea. Can't do anything. Can't move. He's dead. Dead man can't give themselves life because they're dead. A dead man can't do anything for himself. He is totally dependent upon God to give him life, to have mercy upon him and give him life. You and I can't be saved until we see that we can't do something to help God save us. I mean, most people would agree that they can't save themselves, you know, without a little bit of help. We can't be saved if we think we can do something to help God save us. We'll never be saved if we think that I can do something that would get God to save me. I can do something to make him a little bit happy with me, more happy he is with this fellow over here, and he'd save me. We'll not be saved as long as we think that. We'll not be saved until we see there's not one reason found in me that God would save me. Now that's helpless. I'm dependent on God to show mercy on me. He's got to decide to show mercy on me or I will be damned. That's helpless. And God will never save us until he brings us to that point. If you're here this morning still thinking that you can do something to make God happy with you, you're not a candidate for mercy yet. We're not going to be saved until God brings us to the place we've got one hope. We're not going to be saved until the Lord brings us to this place. I must have Christ. I must look to him. I must go to him because there's no place else to look and there's no place else to go. I'm helpless. All right, we won't pass from death unto life until God makes us helpless. And we pass from death unto life by the will of God. Look at verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, the Lord told Moses exactly what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to tell you to go down here, and it's going to look like the children of Israel are trapped. It's going to look like they didn't know where they were going, and the wilderness has trapped them in. Pharaoh's going to think that, and he's going to think, now's my chance to go get them and bring them back into slavery. And God said, Moses, Pharaoh's going to think that, because I'm going to put it in his heart to think it. I'm going to make it put it in his heart to do that. See, what's happening here is the will of God's being done. The will of Pharaoh is not being done. The will of Moses is not being done. The will of God is being done. And God's going to do this for the same reason he does everything. For his glory. The heathen are going to know when this story's told, this story's going to get out. When the children of Israel years later got to Jericho, what did Rahab say? Well, I heard about you. I heard about what happened at the Red Sea. The heathen are going to know, I'm God. I'm God alone. That's why he's going to do this. And Pharaoh did just exactly what God said he'd do to accomplish God's will. Look at verse 5. It was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we've let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them by encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. Now Pharaoh did just exactly what God purposed for him to do, didn't he? Because God's will is being done here for God's glory. And here's how God's people pass from death unto life. I can tell you when it happens and how it happens. It happens when God's will concerning them is done. That's when they pass from death unto life. Now, thirdly, we don't pass from death unto life, thankfully, by the strength of our faith. Look at verse 10. It's by faith, but not the strength of our faith. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? And I tell you, you read that, and I don't see much evidence of faith, do you? The writer of the Hebrews said, by faith they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, but not seeing much evidence of strong faith here. The Lord, I mean, you think about what had happened here. After 400 years, the Lord delivered them, just like he promised he would, in a mighty, great fashion. Those slaves left Israel wildly wealthy. Here a few days later, they're saying, you bring us out here to kill us? We got no hope here. What a horrible question. And I would say, can you believe they asked that question? But of course we can, because we're just like them. It's to our shame how often we say, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Weak faith. We can identify with weak faith. Well, here's the good news. God will never forsake his own. He's faithful when we're not. He'll always remain faithful, even when his people are full of fears and doubts that are completely unfounded. Thank God. Salvation is by faith, but thank God it does not depend upon the strength of our faith. Salvation depends upon the faithfulness of God to do just what he promised he would do. Now, we're born in unbelief, but the Lord is not going to leave his people in that unbelief. He's not going to leave us in our weak faith. He'll give faith and he'll strengthen faith. God makes his people believe on them. He makes them believe on him by graciously making them believe on him, by giving them a new nature that does believe. And God does that through the preaching of Christ. And we'll see this in just a moment. When Moses was faced with this unbelief, he is faced with this rebellion. Oh, what an ungrateful people that spent, I don't know, at least 300 years, I reckon, maybe longer, every day begging God, deliver us from Egypt. Every day they begged that, deliver us from Egypt. And God delivered them from Egypt, and they said, why'd you do that? I'd rather die a slave than live free. Why did you do that? When Moses was faced with that, you know what Moses did? This is God's faithful servant. He just kept telling them what he'd always been telling them. You trust Christ. You trust the Lord. You look to him. Trust him. And that's what God's faithful servants do. They just keep preaching the gospel over and over and over again. And eventually God's going to bless it and give life to his people. Eventually God's going to take a message he preached many times before, and suddenly somebody's going to hear it. It's going to be a blessing to their hearts. It's going to be an encouragement and a comfort to them. The Lord gives faith, and he strengthens faith through the preaching of Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. But thankfully, we don't pass from death unto life by the strength of our faith. It's by the strength and faithfulness of our Savior. All right, fourthly, we're not going to pass from death unto life by our own will. Our will is going to take us the wrong way, the opposite way every time. Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Here's what they're saying. Moses, you first came back here. We told you to leave us alone. Just don't bother us, you know. Just, I like my religion. Just leave me alone in it. I mean, I know it's a lot of work. I know it makes me feel like I'm under bondage. I know it don't make no sense, but just I'm comfortable doing it. It's what I've always done. Just leave me alone. What are you're talking about this sovereign grace business. You're talking about God's electing grace. I've never heard anything like that. And that messes up my apple cart, so just leave me alone. I've always heard, that I can be saved anytime I want. If I can just decide to accept Jesus anytime I want, so I'm just waiting, for a better time, Just leave me alone. And don't confront me with facts from the Bible now. Just let me stay comfortable. That's what they're telling Moses. But a big part of the job of God's preacher is to make the flesh uncomfortable. We've not preached the gospel if we haven't made the flesh uncomfortable. Because our flesh, not only has it got to be uncomfortable, it's got to be killed so that we'll look to Christ. But this is what they want. This is what our nature wants. Leave me alone. And if God will give us what we want and leave us alone, we're going to go to hell getting what we want. By nature, we will never want to be saved on God's terms and Christ alone. God has got to cross our will. He's got to give us a new nature. He's got to give us a new want to, or else we'll never want to be saved by Christ alone. And you who believe, aren't you thankful God didn't give you your way? Aren't you thankful that God kept his promise? Aren't you thankful God kept his covenant mercies and insisted on giving them to you, even though you didn't want them? Aren't you thankful that he crossed your will and gave you a new will so that you did want them? I tell you, the only time we're going to be delivered and pass from death unto life is by God's will. Not ours. All right, fifthly, we pass from death unto life when God makes us stand still and see Christ by faith. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, this is what I said a minute ago. Moses is God's faithful servant. He just was faithful to keep preaching that same message over and over and over again. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Trust the Lord. Don't trust what you understand. Don't trust what you think you see in this situation. Don't trust your plan to get out of this mess. You trust the Lord. You look to him. Moses kept preaching that message over and over and over again, didn't he? So here's the message of the gospel. Fear not. Fear not. You've got nothing to fear if you trust Christ as all your salvation. You have nothing to fear. Christ the Savior has taken your sin away from you, and he stood condemned for it. He suffered and died for it. Then what are you afraid of your sin for? Huh? It can't condemn you. Now, if Christ died for you, it can't. And Christ, your Savior, the one who suffered, the one who died for you, he loved his people enough to suffer and die for them. And that same one rose again. Went back to glory where he sits on the throne. Christ, your Savior, rules. What can harm you? Huh? He rules. What can harm you? And I know we're very, 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 very tied to these bodies. And we think, well, the worst thing that could happen, this is the way we think, this is how tied we are to these bodies. The worst thing that could happen is that the Lord will let something kill this body. We think that's the worst thing that could happen. And then I'll go be with the Lord. Brethren, the worst thing is the best thing that could ever happen to us. That the Lord deliver us from this clay prison. Take us to be with him. If you believe him, that's going to happen. Because your Savior rules. What we think would be the worst thing that could happen to us, Scripture says it's great gain. Great gain to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So our message, fear not. And our message is stand still. Just quit trying to work to please God. Quit trying to find some way that you think God will be happy with you by what you do. I know we see, at least I hope we see, that we're in a mess because of our sin. Well, quit trying to get yourself out of the mess that you made. Just quit. And stand still. Be still. That's what the Lord did to Israel. He brought them to a place where they were trapped. They had to stand still, didn't they? There's no place to run. They had to stand still. They couldn't run. They couldn't hide. They couldn't escape. Moses told them, be still. But what else could they do? They had to be still. And if we would be saved, I'm telling you, we've got to quit doing everything we think we can do. We got to quit, and we've got to be still and rely on the Lord. We've got to rely on Christ, not just to do everything that we need. We've got to rely on him to be everything we need. Our message is be still. Quit your working and look. Look to Christ. Look and live. And I tell you, the moment you look to him, the moment you look to Christ, the moment you look to him in faith, believing that he is all my salvation, the moment you look to him, believing he's all that you need, you don't understand how he does all that, but the moment you look to him in faith, believing he's all you need, the moment you look to him, you're going to see. And I'll tell you what you'll see. You'll see he really is all my salvation. The moment we look to Christ by faith, we're going to see I don't have any goodness of my own, but Christ is all my goodness. He's all my righteousness. The moment we look to Christ, we're going to see I have no hope in myself, but I see that Christ is all of my hope. If Christ is all you have, if he's the only thing you have, you've got a good hope. When we look to Christ, we're going to see there's no reason for God to save me found in me, but it's all in Christ. Now, be still. What can you do? I mean, I tell you to be still, but what can you do? Where can you run? What work can you do? Be still and look to Christ. Where else can you look? All right, sixthly. We'll pass from death unto life when the Lord commands it. Verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward. I'm sure some smart aleck heard Moses say, okay, we're going to go forward. And they said, where? We can't go forward. The sea's in front of us. God commanded them to do the impossible, didn't he? But there's the seed. God commands his people to do what they cannot do, to go where they cannot go. But with the command comes the ability. With the command comes the open door. Now, the only way we can go forward spiritually is by faith in Christ. See, by nature, we can't come to Christ. Our Lord said we can't and we won't. But with the command comes the ability. Christ the Savior said, "Come unto me and find rest. Come unto me and have the living water for your soul." And coming to Christ is simply believing him. And with the command comes the ability. We believe. By nature, we can't believe. But God says, believe and be saved. And with the command comes the ability to believe. Now the Lord commands us to come to Christ. This is not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's not like, well, you might be able to find another way, but this is the best way. No, the Lord commands us to come to Christ. Because there's no other Savior. He commands us to believe Christ because there's no other hope. That's God's commandment. I want to ask you a question. What are you waiting on? Huh? What are you waiting on? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid? God will turn you away. Are you afraid of that? Are you afraid that if you come to Christ in obedience to his commandment, are you afraid God's going to turn you away? Of course he won't. Then come to him right now. Right where you sit in your heart. You come to him. You cast all of your soul upon him. Now we are to wait on the Lord. I'm not saying we just go out here and charge willy-nilly and go, no, we're to wait on the Lord in all things. We're to wait on the Lord to give direction. If we don't know what to do, we'll wait on the Lord to give direction. If we think there's something, you know, we'd like to do, the door's not open, well, we'll wait on the Lord to open it. But don't ever use this excuse, waiting on the Lord to do nothing. When the Lord gives the commandment, you quit waiting on the Lord. He's already given the commandment. You go forward. And go forward without retreat. The Lord commands us to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, let's go forward with no retreat. Let's believe him. Let's turn. Repenting is turning. Let's turn away from everything we used to trust in and don't turn back. Let's believe Christ and keep believing on him. Don't go back. Don't retreat. The Lord commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I don't think any of us are great big world travelers, but tell you what let's do. Let's start right here. Let's start with our family. Let's start right there. And let's preach the gospel. Let's preach Christ to them every opportunity we get. And let's go forward with no retreat. I don't have to wait on the Lord to know what message I'm supposed to preach Wednesday. Now, I haven't got the text or the outline yet, but I already know the message. It's the same message I'm preaching right now. It's Christ and him crucified. That there's life in him. There's forgiveness of sins in him. Now go to him. Cast your soul upon him. Come to him. Let's preach the gospel with no compromise. Let's not think, well, you know, we're not kind of getting the results that we could get. If we could start trying to use some psychology and trick people and kind of pull people down the aisle, we'd get some more results. No, let's not compromise. Let's not compromise the truth. And let's preach the gospel without apology. I'm not sorry these things are so. I'm not sorry that God is God and you're just going to have to get used to it. I'm not sorry that you're dead and you don't have any hope. No. I'm glad. That's the gospel. I'm glad those things are so. Because there's hope in Christ. There's only hope in Christ. Now go to him. I'm not sorry about those things. Let's preach it without apology. Let's preach it in love and compassion for poor sinners that can't see, that can't hear. Let's not be mad at a blind man for being blind. How can he know except some man guide him? How are we going to do that? How are we going to go forward like that? With no retreat, by faith, and trust God to bless it. All right, seventh. We pass from death to life miraculously. Verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, this really happened. This really happened. I saw some documentary somewhere where this fella, he's going around trying to find all these biblical places and things that happened, you know, in Old Testament. And he's trying to find the place where Israel crossed the Red Sea. And tradition has it they crossed you on this certain place. Oddly enough, right where Scripture says they're supposed to camp. But at any rate, he's trying to explain that away, saying, well, they can't cross the depths of this ocean. But over here, some other place, the sea kind of comes down to this little muddy place, you know. And he said what they did is they crossed in this muddy place, and God caused this wind to blow, and the tide went out, and they could, you know, it wasn't dry land, but they could, you know, cross on it. And then God caused the wind to quit blowing, the tide came in, and the Egyptians' chariots got stuck in the mud. And children, listen to me. Don't you believe it for a second. Don't you believe it for a second. Israel went down into the midst of the Red Sea. And that seabed was dry land. And on either side of them, on their left and on their right, was a gigantic wall of water. That's what happened. I know that's what happened because God's Word said it. Have you ever, like, had a shovel, you're going to dig a ditch, you're going to do, and you mound up dirt. You just shovel it up, and we can mound up dirt, can't we? Just a big old heap of dirt. God made the water a heap of water. And there it stood. And Israel crossed right through the midst of it. That happened because only God can do that. What a miracle that that happened. And that, wouldn't you love to have seen that? I mean, I would have. I would have loved to have seen that. Do you know we've all seen a bigger miracle than that? We have. We've seen a bigger miracle than that. God has given life to a dead, rebellious sinner. He's given him life and faith. And we can't exactly explain that. We can't exactly explain. There's life where there wasn't there before. There's faith where there wasn't there before. The only thing we know is it's there and God did it. And it's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. I hate it when false prophets bring salvation down into the gutter where we are and make it dependent upon some decision that we made. That's not a miracle. That's just, my brother says, that's just salesmanship. I mean, that's all it is. It's just being a used car salesman, just convincing somebody to do something they don't want to do. That's not a miracle. Salvation of a sinner. God gives life and faith. Oh, that's a miracle. Oh, it's a miracle to pass from death unto life. Only God can do it. Eighth, we pass from death unto life by faith. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, on their right hand and on their left. Now can you imagine walking down into the floor of that sea with walls of water on either side of you? You see no visible force holding that water up. There it is. We went to this aquarium one time, and they got like this, you know, a glass tunnel, you know, through the water. Janet looked at that and said, do I want to go in there, really? I mean, is that really going to hold back all that water? But at least you can see a tunnel. I mean, you can see the glass and the tunnel and the metal holding it all up, you know. To the naked eye, it looked like air was holding that water up. Now, what's going to make you walk down between those? You believe God. You believe that's the only way. John Gill says, a very adventurous action it was. Very adventurous action to walk down between those walls of water. But that's what faith does. Faith acts. If you believe the Lord, you went down into that water, between those walls of water. The only reason you'd possibly step down between that is you believed that God would hold that water up just like He said He would. You didn't have to understand. How did God heap up that water? You didn't have to understand that. You just had to believe that God would do it. And that salvation, a sinner is saved by faith in Christ. And we know a lot of the, I don't know what the right word is, the ABCs, you know, of the gospel. But can you really explain those things? I mean, can you really explain, can you really understand how Christ was made sin for me? How he took my sin away? I can't explain it. Faith believes it, though. I can't explain everything there is to know about the blood of Christ removing all of my sin, paying for my sin, and cleansing me from all of my sin, even though when I look at myself, the only thing I see is sin. I don't have any tangible, nothing I can touch, nothing I can see. I don't have any tangible reason to think that the Son of God would die for a sinner like me. But by God's grace, I believe it. And faith acts on it. Faith follows Him. Faith walks. It follows Christ because it believes God. Faith does not walk because we see the trail all laid out for us from here to the end. That's not why faith walks. When the Israelites stepped down into that ocean, that sea, they didn't see the other shore. They couldn't see from shore to shore. So they say, okay, I see the path. I see how I'm going to be delivered, how I'm going to get from here to there. They couldn't see how I'm going to get from here to there. All they could see was this next step in front of me is dry ground. Now I'm going to walk on it. I'm going to take that step because God commanded me to. That's how faith walks. Faith just walks one step at a time. It's not because we can see the whole course laid out in front of us. I tell you when we know when we finished the course. There's a day coming we're going to be able to say, I finished my course. You know when that day is? When we finish it. But not before. We're not going to know we've reached the finish line till we get there, and not a moment sooner. And while we're on this walk, I'm telling you, don't worry about the course. Don't worry about the finish line. Just take the next step God's given you to take. What are you supposed to do tomorrow? I don't know. Do what God's given you to do today. Take the step that God's giving you today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Just walk in the light God's given you. Think, well, now I believe Him, but I just don't see all this. Don't worry about that. Walk in the light God's given you, and He'll give you more. Use the faith God's given you, and He'll give you more. Come to Christ in obedience to His commandment, and He'll give you more faith. All right, ninthly, we pass from death unto life. This is kind of a repeat, by faith and not by works. Verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Now Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry land. Every last one of them was delivered. There wasn't one Israelite died in that sea. And the Egyptians tried to do the exact same thing, didn't they? And they were drowned. Every last one of them. What's the difference? One did it by faith. One did it obeying God's command. The other tried to do it by their works. Remember, the writer to the Hebrews said this is what they essayed to do. This is what they tried to do by their own power, by their own works. They thought, well, I can do that too. One had faith. The other had works. Who made the difference? God did, didn't He? God put that pillar behind the Israelites. and separated his people and the Egyptians. He gave light to one, left the other in darkness. God made the difference. Salvation and righteousness will never come by our works of the law. In Romans 9, Paul said that was the problem with his countrymen. They sought it by works, not by faith. We pass from death unto life by faith in Christ, by relying on Him and Him alone, with none of our works being added to it. Right, 10th, we pass from death unto life because our sin has been put away under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The end of verse 28 says, there remained not so much as one of them. Every soldier was drowned. And that Egyptian army is a good picture of our sin. That army came there determined to capture all those escaped slaves, to put them back under bondage and kill a bunch of them while they were at it, because they blamed all their troubles on those Jews. And every last one of those soldiers died in the Red Sea. So that, here the Red Sea is a picture of the red blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ shed His blood before the Father for the sin of His people, all of the sin of all of His elect was cleansed away. They were all washed white as snow. Not one of those sins remains. Not one. Now I ask you again, what do you have to fear? If you believe Christ, nothing. He already took away everything that would destroy His people. We pass from death unto life because of the blood of Christ. And lastly, we pass from death unto life when we see that salvation is the work of God alone. Verse 29. And the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. And they believed His servant Moses. At the end of this day, I promise you this, there's not one Israelite that had the slightest notion that deliverance from that army was a cooperative effort between them and Jesus. Not one of them. This was a work the Lord had done. The Lord had done alone. And they saw that and they believed. They believed God. They believed the Lord. And everybody who believes the Lord will believe God's servant when He preaches Christ. I'm going to close with this question. I want everybody in this room to answer this question in your heart. Do you believe this gospel? This Christ that we preach, do you believe Him? Do you see that He's your only hope? Do you see that salvation is of the Lord? It's a work that God does for you and in you. Do you see that? Do you believe that? Do you know what? That's the evidence that God chose you. The Father chose you. The only evidence we have the Father chose us is faith in Christ, because He gives faith to everybody He chooses. The evidence that the Father chose you is you believe this gospel. The evidence that God the Son died for you is you believe this gospel, because everyone for whom Christ died is going to receive faith in Christ. And this is the evidence the Spirit has given you life. You know, you can't, the evidence that the Spirit's given you life is not you can look at yourself and see something different. The evidence that the Spirit has given you life, He moved just like the wind. You can't tell where He'd come from, where He was going. You just know He's been there, because now you have faith in Christ. Do you believe God? That's the evidence you've passed from death unto life, because salvation is of the Lord. All right, I hope the Lord will bless that to you. Let's bow together. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your miraculous, mighty work of giving life, spiritual life to Your people, and causing us to pass from death unto life, causing us to pass from death in Adam to life in Christ. Father, how we thank You. And Father, I pray You'd bless Your gospel as it's been preached this morning. Bless it to Your glory, and use it to reach the hearts of Your people, to give life and faith, to call us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Use the gospel as it's been preached to comfort the hearts of your people, to give us assurance of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ alone, and to cause us to, with no retreat, keep looking to Him and Him alone, to keep trusting Christ and Christ alone. It's in His blessed name, for His glory, we pray and give thanks.
Let's turn to 268. Stand as we sing.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to His foes.